Good morning. Our passage for the message this morning comes from Psalm 147, verses 7 through 11. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. This last week especially has been a very difficult time for those of us who live in the Northwest. Oregon had several wildfires, and so did Washington. And all of us were coping as best we could because we had hazardous air from the smoke, and we had hazardous things happening to loved ones and friends and communities, places that we have all loved and care about, but most of all, people who are hurting and who got hurt from these fires. And we're not totally out of the woods yet. Things are still happening, and there's concerns about damage from mudslides and things like that. So I wanted to focus on this section of Psalm 147 because the thoughts in this passage were, in a collective sort of way, going through my mind all week long. And I'll just go through each verse. First, verse 7 says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre, or maybe it's pronounced lyre. It was like a stringed instrument. It was an instrument that made melody in an easy sort of way to the Lord. And you may not view yourself as a singer, but the Lord loves your singing, and he loves your way of giving thanks. And it may be that your kids kind of roll their eyes when you try to sing in front of them, like they my two kids did with me when they were growing up, which I thought was cute, but I'm not as good of a singer as they are. But I know that the Lord loves my singing, and the Lord loves my expressions of praise towards the Lord and towards his greatness and who he is. So when I'm going through these kind of hard times, the first thing I want to remember is, yeah, we have finite things going on, and it reminds me of me being finite, and we live in this world that is finite, but we have a God who is infinite. And that's the perspective I want to get. That's the person that I want to tap into, because I know, because of Jesus Christ, that the person of God is a God of love and a God that longs for relationship with me, just like a parent would with a child. Verse 8 says, he covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. What a awesome verse for us, right? I saw a Facebook post that I ended up liking and sharing that had this young man with his arms raised in the rain, and the caption underneath it said, everybody in Oregon last night. I was asked by several people in this last week to pray for rain. And I was hoping that every time after I said amen, rain would just come down, that it would be a clear answer to my prayer. But the rain didn't come on command like I wanted it to. It didn't come until the middle of Friday morning around 2:30 for Vancouver, Washington, earlier than that in Salem. And various people were awake for that rain that early in the morning because they were waiting for it. They were praying for it. I saw one shop owner, I believe from Estacada, who said he was waiting for the rain and praying for the rain because he knew it was coming from the weather reports. And when it came in around 3 o'clock, he went instantly asleep because he was at peace knowing the rain was here. I had the opposite experience. I was sleeping, and at 2:30 in the morning, I woke up and I heard the lightning and thunder, or actually I heard the thunder and saw the lightning, and I was listening for rain. And it was an awesome time, actually. And it reminds me of what this verse says. It says that he covers the heavens with clouds and he prepares rain for the earth. It's a simple, simple thing, but hey, that's, as I get older, I realize simple faith is what I'm after. And then I'm also now looking forward to the grass growing to cover the hills because that's going to help to protect against mudslides. But that's going to take some time. And then verse 9 says, he gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. We all heard stories about people's pets disappearing or actually showing up and being taken care of. We heard tragedies and we heard miracles. And I'm sure that the wildlife out there got some of both. A lot of it seemed due to just the patterns of the fire. But I saw this one news story where a reporter was talking and a big brown bear came walking behind her out of a neighborhood and just up the road, just kind of ignored the news reporter and just walked up the road. And the commentator that was talking to the news reporter commented on the bear and he said, you know, that you talked about how animals are confused and were confused during that time. And he said, poor guy, as he walked up the road. And I loved that he had some compassion on this bear. It was a very confusing time, not only for us, but for the wildlife. But we have a promise that he gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. And then we come to the last two verses that I really want to say something about. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. See, in biblical times, the horse was the most powerful vehicle they had. And they had horses for chariots and horses for riding. And the more powerful horse you had, the more powerful you were. And we look at our vehicles today and we gauge them by their horsepower. And young people especially like fast cars. I like to see how fast cars will go because it makes them feel powerful. And the same thing for legs. You know, legs, a man who could run really fast in biblical times was an asset to his nation because that's how you got messages out to other, you know, signposts and places where you had a warning system. They would use fast runners. But also, there's something awesome about having super strong legs because people with super strong legs could do mighty acts. I had a friend in high school and college who just naturally had very strong legs, and he didn't work out with weights or anything, but once in a while he did. And he would go into a weight room and he would look over the weight room and he'd try to find guys that were weightlifters. And he'd wait for them to get on the leg machine, you know, the machine that does leg presses. And they'd put like 200 pounds on it, you know, and just could barely do it. And then he'd go over and add 500 more and go super fast. And he liked to do that. He liked to show off the strength of his legs. He got a kick out of it. And we get impressed with power and strength, don't we? Not just with, you know, fast cars and strong legs, but any kind of strength or power. We get impressed. But you know what it says in verse 11? It says what the Lord is impressed by. It says the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. I like that these two verses together. I often will tell people that that word fear means respect, and it's a reverence. But people aren't satisfied with that. They want to say, no, it also means to be afraid, afraid of God, afraid of God's judgment. That's the answer I get a lot of times when I comment on this. But see, when you have these two side-by-side truths, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love, what you have is the concept that love is God's heart towards all of us. And so why would you be afraid of the Lord when he's telling us that he takes pleasure when we hope in his love? So this is, I think, my argument that the fear is a respect and a reverence, and that's how you can interpret the Hebrew. The Hebrew word means respect and reverence. I liken it to a judge, you know, and a lawyer going into a courtroom. He really likes the judge. And even if he knew the judge before the judge became a judge as an attorney, he wouldn't disrespect the judge by calling the judge by his or her first name. And when he went in the courtroom, he or she, lawyer, goes into the courtroom, there's a reverence and respect that happens for that judge. But there's also a knowledge that this is a good judge, this is a fair judge. I love to be in the presence of this judge, and I'm hoping in the steadfastness of this judge to give me a fair and good and just ruling, because this is a good judge. Well, this is an even stronger point, because this is saying the Lord takes pleasure when we hope in his steadfast love, not just his fairness, not just being in a good judge, but in being a God of love. And that's God's heart towards us. I know many people have wondered if God's upset. But we have scripture telling us that what brings him pleasure is when we hope in his love. I believe that's why Jesus came and had this 3-year ministry on this earth, was to correct wrong theology about the Father. The Father's love. And Jesus reflected God's compassion. Yes, Jesus had a just side, but even that came from a place of love. And he takes pleasure in those who hope in his steadfast love. So as we go through life, let's realize that there's this finite world that we're living in, but we are also serving an infinite God who's got a heart of love towards us. And even though we don't understand all the suffering and all that's going on, we know that God's love and God's purposes and God's work is something available for us to join. And we can help build his kingdom in this hurting world. This world that so desperately needs hope. and we can be His hands extended to this hurting world. We can be His words to this hurting world. And we can be a partner with Him in bringing His love to this hurting world. God bless you.